Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Bonus episode today, John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender from Futurama, The Adventures of Puss in Boots, Justice League, Transformers, Trip Tank, Turbo, Rick and Morty, Hulk, Avengers Assemble. The dude has done almost 1,000 voices, Ninja Turtles, Brickleberry, and man, he's just one of the coolest, funniest dudes we've had on in a while. Just easy to flow with. We prank called A Bed Bath & Beyond. we talked about so much shit, dude. And it was just a really, there's no real one thing we stayed on for a minute, man. This app's all over the place, but it's amazing. And John DiMaggio is a shit. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at TheJohnDiMaggio. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps. Shop AdamRay.com for all my merch. And AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates, which tonight I'm at the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory at 8 and 9 p.m. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Tomorrow at the Ice House for two shows, 8 and 10. And then off to Seattle to throw out the first pitch at the Mariners game on June 17th, Monday. So pretty fired up about that. Hopefully I don't bounce it in the fucking dirt, 50 Cent style. And then next week, of course, in Salt Lake City at the Wise Guys at Jordan's Landing, I think, is the city. Is that where you guys are? Jordan's Landing, Utah. Wise Guys, Friday and Saturday, June 21st and 22nd. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams, next weekend, is in Hoover, Alabama at the Stardome Comedy Club. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Of course, my album, Read the Room, is available at Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Go get that right now. Read the Room and enjoy yourself. Tell your friends. Tell your fam. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with questions and where you got the ep. I'm sorry, the pod and how you got into it. And I'm going to be reading some of those in the next couple eps and give you guys a chance to win some free merch. A lot of great eps coming up. Kyle Newacek, Seth Green, Jeremy Piven, Brent Morin, Melissa Villasenor. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your audio fix. And give us a 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny John DiMaggio.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down?
So why don't you sit down and
listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Oh, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Oh, there we go. Oh, the sweet, sweet sounds. Oh, yes. Perfect. Turn off the air conditioner. So
yeah, we'll go.
All sit in
there. We'll try to go no fan as long as possible and see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't you a radio DJ?
Shit, I don't know.
Because early mornings suck?
Because it doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a fucking, you know, like, you get to go all the free concerts you want to. It's like, I don't, that's not enough.
Yeah, you can only see bare naked ladies in fastball so many times.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
That's
a deep cut.
That hurts.
Why? Why does that hurt?
It does make me feel good, but it hurts for someone else to. is this like a thing?
What's that?
Giant me fucking bonkers.
Oh, the candles?
It's like this. I'm like, no.
Oh, dude, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Get on the coaster, fucking asshole.
John DiMaggio, slightly OCD.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
The right amount.
Yeah.
The Mark Summers amount.
Yes. Exactly. The Mark Summers amount.
Deep cut.
The fucking smack Burt Reynolds in the face cut.
That's, dude, the Mark Summers amount sounds like a Harrison Ford movie that never got shot.
Oh, my God.
He told that story on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. That he smacked Burt Reynolds in the face.
Yes. Like, that was a that was a big thing. Like, it was crazy.
It's one of the best clips. Like, there's a certain amount of clips that I watch every year just to feel good and just also to remind myself that, like, there's a lot of great in the world, and you just gotta, like, sift through the chaos. The Oprah giving away cars,
instant
feel good.
Yeah,
Pacers Pistons brawl at the palace.
Yeah,
that's just like
on the same line. The Ellen, the 12 days giveaway 12 thing.
Days
that's
giveaway.
That's a fucking, you know, that fucking that Andy Williams song comes on. And I'm like, oh my god, they're giving away everything. These people are, oh my god, they're so fun. Fucking ridiculous.
Who's gonna top that?
Well, I mean,
like, when someone replaces Ellen, who's gonna top?
Yeah,
because Ellen's 12 days topped Oprah's 1 day.
Yeah.
There's a clip that was going around last night that's making everybody cry from America's Got Talent.
Oh, the guy with the two legs?
Or no, some kid. the guy with the two legs.
Like autistic kid.
Blind and autistic, comes out, plays the piano, and then has the voice of a goddamn angel.
And does Donnie Hathaway.
And you're just sitting there like, oh,
yeah.
Are you chopping onions from like four blocks away? Mm-hmm. Like, it's getting in my eye.
It was that.
It's pretty heavy duty. The guy just sings like a fucking angel.
Yeah.
Is that what makes people cry, that he's blind and can sing? That doesn't seem that crazy to me. We've seen that before.
No. Well, it's.
Seen that before. No. But we've okay, dude. All right.
That was Adam Ray. You can find him on Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy.
I have a computer. I'll probably cut that out. No, you know what? Leave it in. But wait. Leave it in. What is it about him that tugs at the heartstrings?
No, it's just it's a guy that doesn't seem to be. You can tell that there's something wrong, but it doesn't matter that
blind.
It doesn't matter that there's something wrong. He's
also severely autistic.
Autistic.
Right. Well, so had I known that,
he doesn't know how to. He doesn't know how to really.
He can talk, but like it, you and to have someone when you say like, what are you gonna do? And God bless me, he's like, I'm gonna thing.
Yeah.
And then in your head you're like, oh God!
Oh God! Please.
Oh God! Please be able to sing, please. Because if
but
you
don't, you
and
know,
then he just starts, just starts playing piano, and and
does that's he sing the fastball's thing about, the way.
Yeah. Oh shit!
Now let me ask you this:
drink four for your second fastball reference of the podcast.
Oh my God.
But does it? You know, though, if they're gonna give that much time to a contestant, that it's just, gonna go well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would think so. But just the same, it's it's the.
Imagine being
it's
backstage.
That bullshit drama that they allow you to buy into.
They're so
good
at it.
They're really good at it.
Yeah.
They're really good at it. And that's why it's the show that it is.
And imagine being backstage and like you're a juggler.
And I'm gonna have to follow that shit. You might as well juggle some knives, throw them in the air, and just let them land in you. And just be like, ta-da! And fucking walk out with knife wounds. Be like, don't remove them.
I'll just
bleed out, man. Just
let me
leave
die.
Leave him in. I'll make it to the hospital. They're not Ralph.
That's
Ralph.
Just let me die after that. Why?
I'm just fucking done.
Your family's crying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Missing a nipple.
Yeah.
There's a fucking knife in the floor.
I guess after all that, Simon would still go, I don't think you're going to go to the next round. I've seen it before.
Oh, my God. It'd be a lot better if you caught the knives
in your mouth.
In your mouth, on your hands, rather than now the blood on the floor.
I think what should have happened was that you should have... carved a Chinese lantern in your chest as it landed.
Get the fuck out of here. Can you imagine if you walk out and you go, well, it's been a struggle, me trying to juggle when I lost one finger. Mm-hmm. I lost one finger and that's what I've... Did you have to put me on after that guy?
No, fuck that. A handsless dude.
Ooh.
A guy with some hooks.
Oh.
And he's going to fucking
juggle. That would be the only way
you could follow
I'll
if you were.
That.
That's it. There it is.
And
that's the way you follow if you're a juggler. If you're missing fucking hands, you follow the autistic blind kid who sings like a fucking angel and is basically a kick in your nuts.
What did he sing, though, by the way?
He sang a Donny Hathaway song.
I'll pull it up right now.
Gotcha.
Hold on. And it's just beyond. It's just beyond anything.
It's a beautiful song, and it's oh, it's yours. It's a song for you. A song for you. That's what it is. Donny Hathaway's A Song for You.
So this is him walking out.
And we're gonna sit here for 10 fucking minutes because poor guy can't. Like, you need to. You need to just scroll about 2 minutes.
I'm gonna sing a song for you on the piano.
See. All right. See,
we got that.
So we're
now.
So,
we're
in. Tell us a little bit about Cody.
Yeah.
Wait.
And then
wait.
The Cody mom. Is, the mom brings him out.
Him, yeah. And then she leaves him out. So he's sitting down now.
Yep.
Okay.
Go Cody.
Listen to this kid. He's. It's ridiculous.
So there's 20 cameras on
him. You ready? Go.
Give him a little pep talk.
That's awesome. And see, this is a beautiful thing. Yeah. Now you can be patient.
Yeah.
And once you realize what you're dealing with, now you know you need to give someone, that person, time.
A little tinkle of the ivories.
He's already better at piano than me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's over. It's a wrap.
See ya.
It's a wrap
on the day.
It's a wrap.
Gabriel Union just left Dwayne Wade for this guy. Sorry, Dwayne.
Can you imagine?
You just had your last season. You're not bringing any more bacon.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's a wrap.
Gatorade commercials aren't paying for everything. Yeah. So
do you have any hidden talents like that? That if you were to go on a show. I mean, you're one of the best voice actors in the game.
Thank you.
Yes,
I would.
This is known.
I would. What would I do? I would if I had to whip out a special. I could beatbox, but that's old news.
Well, that's new news here.
It is new news.
Yeah,
I don't want to hurt this microphone.
All right, DiMaggio's got to go on AGT.
I just made that up.
Hey,
that's the make-em-up.
That's better than anything DJ Khaled has ever done.
It's a trap set. I didn't have drums as a kid, so I would mimic the sounds. And then, you know, the first time I heard the Fat Boys, I was like, oh, my God. And then, you know, all the beatboxes.
Fat Boys all back. You know,
I mean, that guy was just, I mean, all he was doing was like, I mean, I can. I'm 50. I'm gonna fucking choke.
Yeah,
if I fucking keep doing that,
you do that. We're like, is he having a stroke?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Is that happening
right
now?
I think that guy passed away. The human beatbox because he was.
Oh,
just,
he did.
Yeah. Not Ro- are we talking about Rozelle?
No, not Rozelle. Now Rozelle is the ultimate. Like that guy is fucking crazy. He's crazy. He's nuts.
That's like an extra chamber in your heart.
Yeah. Then there's some guys that there's some beatbox guys that do like, you know. That like techno beats or jungle beats, and they, I mean, like crazy shit, and they're, you know, they're hitting notes, you know, and they're doing crazy shit, and
fuck.
But I don't know.
Where would you do that in elementary school?
No, I used to do that. My comedy team act back in the 90s. We were fucking. There we were go. The shiznit.
Now,
We were in Source Magazine. God damn it!
No
we
way.
Like, yeah, Source Magazine.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
That means that you have a hood pass.
Yeah, I do. Oh, I totally. No, I have a hood pass. I'm the only white guy. I could just be like, "Hey, motherfucker! hey, you cracker ass motherfucking cracker! Get your ass up on out of here before I whoop your motherfucking ass!" I got a hood pass like you would not believe.
That's unbelievable.
I could walk up to a woman and just be like. Baby, do you need help with that? Because I can help you if you need some help.
I mean, do we need to do it?
There it is.
I mean, is that now? Is that Barry White or is that just?
That's
that
Barry American? White, but it's also just like
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, just said Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman. Andy Dufresne.
I wish I could tell you these Cocoa Krispies once all get.
That's it. That's it.
Can we see
get busy living or get busy dying?
Can we see Morgan Freeman?
Damn right.
Can we see Morgan Freeman ordering a 40 in the hood?
I'd like a 40 of your finest ale, please. Whether it be Hoffenreffer, Old E, or a little Colt 45. An ice cold 40 will do.
Wait, and now he's asking. Wait, keep it going. And now he's asking. And now Morgan Freeman in the hood at the local 7-Eleven asking if this last package of brown sugar Pop-Tarts is the only flavor they have or if there's more in the back.
Excuse me.
What's up?
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'd like to ask you a question.
Of course.
Is this the only flavor of Pop-Tarts that you have in the front?
What is out is what did we have?
So you only have the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts.
What we have is right there.
I see your name is Rajib. Rajib, I need to ask you a question.
Of course, please.
It's very important, Rajib.
Yes.
I'm craving blueberry Pop-Tarts.
That is not a flavor.
Actually, it is. I've bought it at Ralph's.
Well, then go there, motherfucker.
Well, you didn't have to be so goddamn cold-blooded.
Oh, shit. All day. That's amazing. All day, man. Rajib, the great cashier. Now,
that's it.
Did you do voices in what's? I mean, take us back.
I used to like. Well, I was interested in acting in theater as a kid.
Yeah.
And I, you know, just kind of naturally pick up a mimic sort of a thing. You know, my favorite comics growing up were like, you know, Billy Crystal and George Carlin and Richard Pryor and Robin Williams and
yeah.
And you know, I mean, I remember the first thing I remember doing an impression of like Billy Crystal, like doing the Cosell Ali.
No way. Oh, okay.
You know, like yeah. You know, Muhammad. What do you think? And he was just like, everybody talk about Joe Frazier. I'm like, you know, I'm like 7, 8 years old. You know, just going
doing it.
Everybody talking about Joe Frazier.
Oh my!
And it's just you know,
would you get laughs from the family?
Oh yeah,
friends?
You know, yeah. And I do other stuff, but you know, and I remember when you know when Eddie Murphy came out, and I was a teenager and
bonkers.
Yeah, and, you know, so you just pick up things. I used to mimic this guy at work. Mm-hmm. I used to work at a Pathmark shop, you know, it was a fucking grocery store.
Yeah.
Pathmark, right? And there was a guy named Manny. He was an assistant manager, but he had a speech impediment. And he was always on the intercom.
Jesus.
He was always on the intercom.
I worked at a grocery store,
and
too.
It was
they
like,
always
bro,
put those guys
it
on.
It was like, bro, yeah. You know, if you don't want...
You got
you know,
one
you,
job.
You got... It's like, shit. You know? So
talk.
Anyway,
push
yeah.
Push the
so,
bagel
yeah,
bites.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, his speech impediment was real... I mean, it was serious.
It was aggressive.
It was really something. And his name was Manny. And so he was just, you know... He would just pick up the, you know... John, pick up on local, please. John, local.
Jesus.
And it was, and you know, put that on an echo. If you could put that on an echo, like in a grocery store.
Get some reverb
it,
going.
Fucking, oh my God. So I would pick up the thing and go, Manny, pick up on local, please. Manny, local. And all the employees would start just dying. They would fucking laugh their asses off. But yeah. Manny was sitting there just like, I was going to put you on break, but now I'm going to send you out to pick out the fucking shopping cart. I'm like, fuck.
All right.
Yeah, you're on cart duty. That's
yeah,
the worst.
Yeah, cart duty is the worst.
Yeah.
But, oh, fuck. But at least it was worth it. Now, does the store just stop at that point? Like
no,
the record's
I mean,
going?
I did a lot of theater.
Yeah.
In Jersey. Yeah, in Jersey, back in Jersey. And then I went to Rutgers, their BFA program. They had a serious, you know, fine arts program and theater. And I went there, but I didn't graduate, but it didn't matter.
It's all right.
I did a bunch of shit there. And then I started doing stand-up with, you know, a guy I went to school with. And we did stand-up from, like, 90 to 96 in New York City and all up and down the Northeast Coast. Mm-hmm. Doing shit tons of colleges and stuff like that. A big college act. And then it just the act? It was called Red Johnny and the Round Guy.
Okay.
And we did like parodies of commercials and songs, and we did rap songs, and we're two white guys, so it was a novelty immediately. And
sure,
then,
sure, sure.
You know, and it just you know it just kind of went the relationship kind of went to shit. But while it was going to shit, somebody else started working. I was working with. You guys know Barry Katz, of course. Everyone, listen,
he's my manager right now.
Are you serious,
he
man? I can't
Brad,
believe it, man. Unbelievable.
Well, because he's undeniable.
Brad, you're undeniable. Fucking on fire, man. I'm telling you, man. So I was represented by Barry fucking Katz, man. I'm telling you.
I've never heard
the big blonde
Barry.
Viking Jew. It's here, man. Johnny D. I can't believe it, man.
Hello? See, no one does Excited Barry.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen Excited Barry. I love Barry. I love Barry Katz.
Like,
Barry helped me fucking get my start, but there was somebody that was working, you know, as the relationship dissipated between my, you know, it was, as it was, you know, fucking falling apart. He didn't know what to do with us. And I started working with somebody that was working in the management that was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
We started working together, and I started booking voiceovers and stuff like that in New York for commercials and television. And I started, you know, trying to book more acting work. And I was just like, I want to get away from this, because it was just fucking killing me. I lost the fire for it.
Yeah, right. And
you gotta, I mean, it's gotta be, you all gotta there. Have the fire for it, and you gotta have a point of view. You gotta get on stage and be fucking ready. And then when you get off stage, you gotta be ready to get right back on and fix whatever the fuck you fucked up or whatever you feel about. Like, I know all the beats and the motions, but I'm not inspired.
If you don't get off stage and you're not thinking about the next show, at least within the next few hours, like, you know, have whatever time you need to think about that set and maybe do something normal. But if there's not something in you right away, it kind of just, but
at any rate, I started doing.
What
stuff
else can
there.
You do?
Ooh, I mean, what else? No, he. That's basically what you know. It's just like, Barry, like, I want to break up the act. He's like, what are you gonna do, man?
What else are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Are you gonna do? I can't voices? Put the fire in your fireplace.
No, I not listen. I mean, and he was right though. Yeah. I mean, he was right. But like, I was like, man, what the fuck, man? You don't believe in me, man. And it wasn't meant like that. It was meant like fucking like, dude, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
show me.
Yeah.
I'm fucking young and dumb and just, you know, I've been laughing times. You know, it's fucking ridiculous.
But voices were like a prominent part
of the act. And that's how I got my agent so quick, because he knew who we were.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I booked the first audition I went on for voiceover.
Wow. What
was
that?
It was a Toyota ad.
Big time.
And I played, you know, I played one of these guys. I played a fucking Jersey guy right there. Oh, I played this guy. You want me to play him like this? And they were just like, oh my God, we got him. Yay. and it just started, shit just started happening. And then I came out to LA to do, it's funny, you got Greg Giraldo's.
My favorite comic ever.
I was in his pilot in 96.
No fucking way.
Brought me out to LA. I played his best friend, right? Mm-hmm. And I was basically like the fucking, they were like, we don't believe that relationship. You got to lose that. Other than that, the show is going. And they were like, okay, then we lose to, so I got shit canned.
Oh no.
But,
was that with Swartzen too?
No. It was the first one he had.
Okay.
Oh man.
It was in like 96.
So they canned you.
So they canned me, but they didn't tell me that they canned me.
Oh, no.
And then I get a phone call from Greg while my mother's, I was living in New York at the time, and I was with my now ex-fiance, and my mom was in town visiting. We were going to go to dinner, and I get this phone call from Greg, and I'm like, dude, what's up, man? 16 weeks. It's going to be fucking great. LA, I can't wait, man. This is going to be a blast. And he's like, nobody told you?
Oh, God.
And so we had to go through. Like, it was a lesson. Oh. I mean, you could still see the flush coming out of my face as I talk about it.
Yes.
Like it still burns, but it was a lesson in I will never get that emotionally
invested into something
like this that is so unsure of itself.
Nothing's guaranteed, right?
Yeah, nothing.
Fuck, dude.
No. So it was just like, oh my God. But then I went out to L.A. No, I went to Hawaii with my ex, and we came back, and we went through L.A., and I had a five-hour layover or something stupid, and I parlayed it into a week-long layover.
The story's amazing.
And then while I was there, I auditioned for Chicago Hope, and I got it, and that's what brought me out to L.A.
Jesus, dude, those stories are so fucking crazy.
No, it's nuts.
I wish I had one, like, literally.
And I was only supposed to do two episodes, and I did 11. They fucking got rid of the whole Lord. It was like a bunch of first year residents.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like this new, like the young people coming in on Chicago Hope. Yeah, you know, they were fucking up against ER. They couldn't.
Yeah,
they
right.
were, you know, they were basically the juggler with the fucking stabbing himself. at any rate,
ER's got George Clooney. What do we have?
Yeah, shit. You know, but like, so basically, like they liked me and they kept me around. They got rid of the storyline, but kept me around. It was fucking great. Nobody else. Everybody else did like four or five. I was the guy like. I'll do it. Dude, just like, bring John back.
That was a good show.
Oh, it was fun. But like, that was my first thing. And then I was out here and then fucking.
What made you come to LA from Hawaii for 5 days? Just to.
No, it was a layover.
Okay.
It was a layover because I was flying back to New York.
And so then what? You picked up your bags and you said, fuck it, let's just stay for a minute and see what happens?
No, I stayed. I stayed.
Gotcha.
My ex-fiance went back. And then we were kind of it was, and then it fell apart.
Yeah.
And we, you know, the relationship fell apart, and she moved to Texas and whatever. She got married, sure, and all this stuff, and I came out here, mm-hmm, and just stayed out here, and you know, I was sleeping on fucking Danny Vermont. You know Danny,
yes,
Vermont?
Yeah, holy dude, crap. Some of the improv.
I was yeah. I lived with Danny for a couple years out here. I crashed on his couch, the Gaylord. He was living in like a fucking junior studio suite, and I was staying on his couch. Oh, like, it was crazy.
400 square feet. Oh,
it was
not.
Yeah, man. It was fart city. It was fucking rough. But he was so cool.
Coming soon to Adult Swim.
Yeah, fart city. Exactly. But then we moved to another place, and then we moved to the place up on Fuller, and then, you know, and then he went and lived somewhere, and I stayed there. And then, but, you know, I
stayed
out
here. And then you stayed out here.
And then I stayed out here. I was going to go back. It was all falling apart. And I was like, man, I think I'm going to go back. And my agent here was just like, just please, just wait. Sure enough, I booked a Blockbuster video campaign, like a television and radio campaign, made me like $75,000. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Kept me out here.
Wow.
Isn't it? I mean, that's
so, there's
and
so
then
many,
the voiceover thing.
Yeah, so many stories.
The voiceover thing back in New York was all, you know, TV and radio,
right? Like,
you know, commercials.
Sure.
Out here, it was a whole different thing. It was voiceover for cartoons, voiceover for everything. Anime, for,
yeah,
for fucking video games, promos, all sorts of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
And it was just like, your IMDb, there's you can't say like, oh, John DiMaggio, he's the video game voice guy, or he's the cartoon voice guy, or he's the actor, or he's like it, yeah, it's just it's all it's of it. Everything.
I've done all of it. I've done, you know.
Thank God for that agent for giving you a little extra oomph as far as like just stick it out, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, absolutely.
Because you always
still my agent.
That's awesome.
You know, yeah.
Well, I mean, so, a guy does that for you and says, no, stick it out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, someone believes in you,
right,
and doesn't just go, okay, go back to New York and then we'll figure it out there.
Yeah. No. He was just like,
how was that?
He was just like, just take it easy.
So were you in the Blockbuster ads too?
Or no, I was just the voice, yeah, which was great. Cause I did commercials when I was back in, you know, I did like on camera commercials, yeah, back in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you're walking down the street. It's like, hey, it's the fucking cheeseburger guy. Oh, the fucking,
that's kind of cool.
You know, it's just like, all right,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Chucky Soup and fucking Gretzky over here. Oh,
say the cheeseburger line. Yeah, say it.
Oh, my God.
Boy, I can't wait. I hope it has more cheese.
You fucking said it.
Yeah.
And in New York, you never know what somebody's going to come up to you like, oh.
What was the type of read for the Blockbuster? Was it like, now at Blockbuster, like movie phone, or was it like?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It was just something. It
so many
just,
voices.
It just worked. I mean, and they're gone now. There's like one.
But I remember
in
seeing them, man, and it was like a big deal because, like, for them to be advertising, they're like, this is where you get the movies.
Oh, yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, oh my
I was
God.
The, all right, like, I was the original voice on booking.com.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Booking.yeah. That was, I was the first one to do that.
Whoa.
Okay. You know, booking.com. Booking.yeah. It was like, you know, and do all this shit. You know, it's
that's
just like
amazing.
Whatever. It's like if you could sell it, you could sell it.
I know.
You can, if you could do the character, do the character. It's, you know.
And the thing is everyone just assumes that when you do a voice, like that's just your voice. Like, that's just like, oh, well, of course he got that because his voice is just that good.
You got to have, I mean, with you know, stuff for commercials, you just got to know what's, you got to time that shit. You got to listen to the.
Do you listen to other stuff that's out there?
Yeah, sure.
Like on TV and stuff? Like when you first started going in for stuff, like a Taco Bell, would you be like, oh, what's the vibe they're going for? Or
yeah, sure. I mean, and they'll usually give
just
you
trust
something.
The specs. Yeah,
but I trust the specs. And then sometimes they don't even know.
They don't know, right?
And then you come in and you do something different. And if they like what you eventually get back to doing what they, you know, they go back to it's the same shit.
You add a menu item to their their order, and they're like, we don't even have that, but I like the way you said it.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you just have to. What you the one key thing when you're doing that kind of copy is you have to make it sound like it's the first time you've ever said it, so that it's just right. It just tugs at what they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're selling a little bit of yourself every time you do that.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter because fuck, we're all doomed. We're all doomed. Right?
We're all dropping knives on ourselves at some point.
Fucking
would you do
Here's my audition?
Would you do home auditions? Like
I still do home auditions. You just record from home and,
Do you do multiple takes on something or do you just kinda like how dialed in are you at this point?
Sometimes
you self-edit and direct yourself.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, like, I'm going back trying to take out breaths, you know, like that kind of shit. So it doesn't sound like, you know, I'm like, wow, have another parliament, asshole. You know, just like, Jesus.
How much do you ad-lib on VO, like cartoon auditions and whatnot? Because that's what the critique I get sometimes where it's like, if I'm reading for something, they're like, you ad-lib too much. Friends of mine have told me that have been casting, they're like, you ad-lib too much and that cost you. Because they were like, we hear from your voice.
Let me give you this advice.
Please.
Get what they have written done. Just get done what they're asking of you. Don't even just, you know, act on the moment. Act like you're saying what you want to say on the moment as opposed to saying it. Do that.
Gotcha.
That's your secret. Hmm. You know? That's what's going on in your head. But what's coming out of your mouth is completely different. So you have to match that. You have to, you know, find that acting moment within that. Then once you've done that, just be like, can we do that one more time? And can we try something? Can I try something?
Once you're in.
Yeah. Once you're in, then it's a whole other thing. And then you can start to be like, well, can we try something? I'd like to try. You really sure? Yeah.
Nobody takes their pants off outside of the club and gets VIP access.
That's
a better analogy, but that's
No. That's kind of it.
You got it.
You know, you're showing the you're doing the Posehn fucking trunk shot. You're showing a little dick.
Do you have a process for creating an original character, like when they.
Fuck yes.
No, I don't really have a process. No, I mean, listen, when they
weed is the secret, kids.
You know.
Do drugs.
Oh Jesus,
they know that.
Oh God,
they know already.
Oh,
John DiMaggio on this podcast told the kids do
that's
some drugs.
That's not true.
That's not true, Brad.
That's not true. No, you know what? Look, they give you the Bible of the character. They give you the character Bible, and that just basically tells you the kind of character it is, and they'll show you, they'll have pictures. So if you see somebody with a big face and a big sort of lip, and you want to, you want to kind of think about that, but, you know, maybe he's really kind of not that smart. So if you get to make him talk like this, and then you could just... But if he's very intelligent, then that's a whole other story. Yeah. You can very much try to enunciate as much as possible with it, you know. So it's just like you pull back and add as it comes, and you know, it's really, you know, it's to get the two knobs, and it's just like come in Tokyo, and once you fucking get to Tokyo, it's all good.
At what point do you know what you're even capable of? Like once you get like, was it probably? I don't know, 5-10 years of auditioning so much to where you're like, all right, cool. I know that when I see this, I can access this part of my my pipes to like do.
There's some, well,
it's like that character you just did. Like when you see that type of a drawing for a character, you're like, all right, there's maybe 3 or 4 different versions I can do.
Yeah, we can play the type, or we can go against type. We can go, you know, like whatever they want. Like, and I'm, you know, it's if you're lucky enough to be in the room, you might as well, you know, make it count. I'm very fortunate in that I've been in a lot of rooms. A lot of people know who I am, so I get a little. I mean, like if I'm going showing up, I'm gonna give them as much as they want.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it a couple times, or if they only want it once, I'll give it to them once. But whatever it takes, you know, like and you know, that's the thing about being a hired gun. You gotta know which guns to bring, which fucking bullets, which fucking holsters, which all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean,
are we doing throwing knives or juggling knives? Are we juggling the knife?
I mean, one of the you
I'm
made
just
a
pictures like
yeah
yeah. Where does it land
right,
first?
Right here, like
it hits
here,
there first. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Here, shoulder, and then yeah. maybe a, like a just yeah. an earlobe, back. Just fucking right the back of the ear, the back of the ear,
most
like,
nerve
just,
tissue,
just like cutting like yeah. this much in the back of the
but
ear.
But it makes a big dent.
Son of a bitch!
Just full fart.
Thank you. Good night. I'm going to the hospital.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I still think the other ear could have been hit first.
Everyone knows
if
two
you could
ears.
Hit both of your ears at the same time.
Yeah. I was like, I loved it. I loved it. Don't touch me, but I loved it. What Bender? Where is like that? Do you consider? Do people? I mean, do they come
I
at
got
you?
The, listen. Yeah. All right. I got the Bender gig because I had auditioned for Mad TV, and the same people that cast Mad TV cast Futurama.
Okay.
I didn't do Mad TV, as
well,
you can tell.
I did the one season but reboot, so I, jealous.
There you go.
CW,
there you go.
Nobody saw.
There, oh, son of a bitch.
But we got a cool poster on
son
my bulletin board.
Bitch.
There you go.
I did Mad. I auditioned for Mad TV.
Oh, you'd be
I got
perfect
it,
for sketch, dude.
And I got it.
Yeah.
But my management and my agent at the time were just like, don't do it.
What the fuck? Why not?
The deal was shit.
Listen, man, SNL or nothing.
Listen,
you
man,
can't do
I'm
Mad TV.
David Salzman will hook it up. Just listen to him.
Alfred E. Newman. Who's that?
Yeah,
no one
well,
knows
nobody
who that
knows
is.
Who that is, man.
But no, I was told not to do it, and I didn't do it. And it was wow. it was the, it was to replace Artie.
Oh, yeah,
It was that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, you know, and I also didn't feel right about that.
Well, because then also you don't want to be the guy where it's like. You don't want to be new Artie.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Exactly. Like, yeah, no, exactly.
You don't want to be coming in.
Totally.
You want the gig, obviously, but you just want to be, hey, this is a great new cast member,
yeah.
John DiMaggio.
Yeah,
you don't want to be like,
yeah.
hey, remember that guy you really liked?
Yeah.
Here's
kind of replacement.
Kind of. You like him just as much.
Do a little bit. No.
Yeah.
So basically, they ran the casting for that, and I got it. But it was just like... They wanted something different, and I wanted to. I just was like, it was a voice I was playing with at the time. It was a, it was like a, I say it's the trifecta. It was Slim Pickens from Blazing Saddles.
Mm.
You know, oh, what in the hell in the wide wide world of sports is going on? I told you boys to come out here and lay some rail, not jump around like a bunch of kittens. Right. You get it. Every drunk at the end of a bar in the Northeast, you know, just...
I'm going to tell you something. You can... I don't even want to know why you didn't fuck off.
It sounds almost like Droopy Dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
and boy. Yeah, exactly. And then there was a guy, my buddy from college, Ralph Colombino, he did a character named Charlie the Sausage Guy.
Yes.
Charlie the Sausage Guy.
What did he love?
He ate sausages.
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, what kind of sausage did you like? And he would just go on. He'd sausages, they're fun to have, fun hold. You got all kinds of sausages, German sausages. German sausages are called wursts. You can have all kinds of wursts. And he's talking about Italian sausages, sweet sausages, dry sausages. You can have all kinds of sausages. The French, have a sausage, the French. You know, and he would just go on and on.
Yeah.
And I would just egg him on, and it was just one of the funniest things. So it was those three voices together. Put them in a blender, and then you get Bender. Hey, there he is. How you doing, man?
Holy shit.
Bite my shiny metal ass. And it was just, yeah.
Dude, that's great. Three different people.
You draw on what you got. And so.
But it seems like, you know, like most people would just pull from one and go, this is based on this guy.
I had a crazy uncle.
Well, no, but actually that's interesting because... Yeah. In my documentary, I know that voice.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Just rewatch it for the 20th time last night,
thanks.
Dude.
Yeah. Hank Azaria said it. You know, like a bad impression can be a new singular voice in itself.
Right. Yeah.
And it's true. Like if you know, it's like if it's a bad. I don't know.
He says Mo is a bad Al Pacino.
Yeah, bad Al. Yeah, sort of a bad Al Pacino. Yeah, he does that, and then there's a bad De Niro, and then there's a bad. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
which is really funny, and their voices by themselves, you know. So
what's crazy is that Yeardley Smith said that Bart Simpson is a good Bonnie Hunt, and that to me.
Oh my god!
All right, we'll just let that sit there for a sec.
I know Bonnie Hunt. She's really
no
cool.
way.
Yeah.
Guess what? She's a go-to reference of mine, and I think she's the shit.
No, she's actually really cool. I met
she's
her.
She's an amazing actress, and yeah. her show was like...
Yeah. Did you see Escape from Dannemora? Or Escape at Dannemora with Patricia Arquette.
Benicio Del Toro.
She was in that. She played the Attorney General in New York. She was brilliant.
She's solid.
Yeah, very good.
That's been Bonnie Hunt talk on the About Last Night podcast.
And Bonnie Hunt is approaching the mound.
For her first outing since the accident. Brought to you by Johnny the Sausage Guy. What's his name again?
It's Charlie.
Charlie the Sausage Guy. Charlie, what kind of sausages you like?
Sausages are fun to have, fun the whole year. I have all kinds of sausages.
2-1 the count on Samson.
So there you go. You know, those radio guys that talk like this, that was Blue Oyster Cult. Coming up right now is a double shot of AC/DC. Those guys are called pukers because they sound like they're about to puke. It's an old radio fucking nickname. If you sound like you're going to blow. Electric Light Orchestra. You know,
morning radio just got more fun for me on the road. Because you're a puker.
Oh, yeah. Totally. You're a total fucking puker.
Holy shit.
Coming up this hour. Yeah.
What? So once you find, you lock in on that, and that's for the audition, yeah? That's what you...
Yeah, and you know what? It changed. I mean, it changed from if you listen to the first episode, the last episode, I mean, the funkometer on Bender just got totally cranked up.
Mm-hmm.
Once he was just like, you know, yeah, baby, I know it. You know, once that happened, it was all over. Yeah. Like, you know, and the arc became a lot more emotional. I think Bender became more human as time went on, mm-hmm. which was something that, you know, he didn't know he wanted. But look at that. You know what I mean?
Arc.
Like, you know,
character
but,
arc
but
in the beginning, it was sort of like this. It was, you know, it was really in the back of my throat.
A little painful.
You know, shinier than yours, meatbag.
Yeah.
And then after a while, it was just, you get a little loose. So you didn't have to put all that pressure on the back of your neck.
Yes.
And then it comes out in the front. Hey,
more fun.
Shut up, Leela. Yeah, you know, just a lot more fun.
Yeah, because if you're restraining or constraining any part of your just vocally, right? Like it's maybe tougher to just completely be free.
Oh my God! Well, yeah. I mean, if you're worrying about this, this is the problem,
right?
This is the problem with you know, when you commit to it, you have to be physically able to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able, but it was just like, but over the time, I mean, and if you listen to, you know, Dan Castellaneta's Homer, it changed.
Mm-hmm.
It changed over the course of 30 seasons because, you know, it's just what it is.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, we didn't have 30 seasons, but it changed. It changes, and you know, it changes for the better with the character.
Is it fun doing Futurama?
Oh, it's a fucking blast.
Yeah.
The writers, the most overqualified writing staff in the history of television, I think. Even more educated than we had guys that went from our show to Big Bang Theory.
Jesus.
But we had all the Futurama alumni, and then. Like any new blood that was just coming out of like Harvard Lampoon, like just The Onion, like fucking, I mean, it was just like,
That's that other type of humor
crazy.
Where it's like,
it's crazy.
There's like, there's like fart joke humor, which is good.
These motherfuckers were doing calculus jokes that were just like, they were crazy.
It's Harvard
humor. They were arguing. David X. Cohen has he's got a double master's degree in biochemistry and something else.
So he's a smart guy.
No, he's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. And then, like, all the writers were just ridiculous. Like, we had a guy, there's a guy who's got his PhD in, like, you know, I mean, it's just nuts. It's just, I mean, like, there's so many fucking smart people that worked on that show. And we, you know, and I got to just be like, fart jokes with them. And it worked.
You just get these scripts and just be blown away. Everything
was funny. Yeah. Everything was funny. Even the shit that they would lose and then they would bring in and be like, oh, I know why you fucking cut that, because that's funnier. Okay, great. Because we would have the table reads on Tuesday. They would rewrite.
So fun, right?
They would rewrite for 48 hours or, you know, they had 48 hours to come up with the record script for Thursday. And then we would record, you know, 9 to 1, 10 to 1 and 2 to 6. What a great schedule. It was fucking awesome.
Fuck.
Unbelievable.
And then other gigs would come up and I would do that.
You had time to do
it. Oh, yeah, the rest of the week.
Now, like, what is there something to when you get a voice, because I know you've done the Joker. Like,
yeah.
And now there's so many versions of the Joker. Like, do you do Mark Hamill's? Do you do more of a Cesar Romero? Like,
mine is more Cesar Romero if he could rape you in prison.
Okay.
My favorite Joker is him.
Yeah.
It's what I grew up with.
And for those who don't know, that's the Joker from
Batman 66. Yeah.
Batman 66 with Adam West and Burt Ward and all those guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to do my own take on it. I got brought in to replace an actor who is a brilliant film actor, mm-hmm. but couldn't do it in the studio with the microphone.
Yeah.
And so I got brought in, and it was Andrea Romano, who was a really amazing voice director. She's since retired.
Oh, really?
She had a health issue that she just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I'm done.
Did it, yeah.
I can retire. I'm old enough to retire, yeah. So I'm out.
Might as well.
But she was brilliant, and it was really something. And, you know, Bruce Timm is involved, and Bruce Timm, anything he does with Batman is fucking brilliant. So I got to do it, and, you know, it was so against, like, people still don't know, and they've seen it, mm-hmm. and they don't put, like, Joker together with Jake the Dog and Bender the Robot and, you know, Marcus Phoenix. Yeah. They don't put it together. They think it, you know, and believe me, I've got enough fucking hate mail from, like, well, not hate mail, but, like, you know, in the comments section, you know, fucking, Mark Hamill's the greatest, John DiMaggio sucks, you know, it's just like, all right, calm down.
Yeah.
But I got the ultimate props from, you know, Mark Hamill, like, he was just like, John, I love your Joker. It's unbelievable.
Oh, God. Holy, that's a good Mark Hamill.
Like, thank you. And so it was just like, you know, it was really cool. I was like, thank you, man. Can you please tell your fans?
Yeah, and have them back the fuck off a little bit.
Fucking ease up.
Well, and because there's a certain type of pressure in that where you have a character where there's a certain voice that sort of goes along with it in fans' heads.
Yeah.
Do you try to do an imitation of that? Do you do your own thing?
No, I just do my own thing. You know, I want to do my own thing and craft it from where I'm crafting it.
And the thing is, for the people that be like, no, Mark Hamill is the voice of the Joker.
No, he's not.
He's a great voice of the Joker.
Amazing, but he's not the voice. There's many voices.
There is no.
There will be more voices.
Yeah, there is no voice.
As long as this story of Batman is told, there's always going to be, you know, it's the same guy's not playing fucking Macbeth all this time. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be different stories, you know?
Yes.
There's going to be different stories told, and there's going to be different interpretations of it. And that's just, you know, people like what they like, and, you know, they get stuck in a rut, and not really a rut, but, you know, they just don't like change. They are, you know, they're a little adverse to it.
The characters seem to... it gets to a point where people think that they personally own the character.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's my character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my Joker.
Like, exactly. No, it's totally... Yeah.
Nothing else can be that. And it's like, especially in the situation of the Joker, that's a comic book character. You could do any voice in your head as you're reading the comic book. So there is no one voice.
There's no one particular way to do it. There's so many different ways to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky enough to get to do it one way.
Mm-hmm. Was it in the, I know that voice where you spoke about how, like, deep and like a dark place that you went to find.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the opening scene of that spoiler alert, you know, under the red hood is me pummeling Robin to within an inch of his life with a crowbar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, okay, we're starting from there.
Wow.
It's like, what the fucking, really? Okay.
I can't ease into this thing a little bit.
No, it's like, you
can't just go to the Olive Garden first and then just fucking make a pitch.
No. So, you know, so that's where we're starting from. And you know, it's... I don't know. I like the job that I did, and I think other people like it. And,
oh yeah,
and so I'm cool with that. You know,
is there a voice you like once you got into this business, or even just now, that is like on a pedestal of like, I would love to take that over. I would love to get a chance.
I would love to get the chance to play Batman.
Man, okay,
yeah, why not?
Why the fuck?
But you know, but the thing is, I was, it was on Batman Brave and the Bold. Mm-hmm. It was between me and Diedrich Bader for okay. Batman.
Yeah.
And he got it. And my consolation prize was Aquaman. And Aquaman was a fucking blast on that show.
Yeah.
He was a scene-stealing showman.
Yeah.
And it was always, you know, like, you know, remember when, you know, Batman 66, when Batgirl would show up and you'd be like, this is going to be a great episode.
Yeah.
Listen, if Aquaman showed up, it was going to be hype.
That's awesome.
But it was a blast.
Yeah.
And Diedrich was fantastic. I can do an impression. I'm the Cape Crusader. He sort of has that sort of that thing.
Yeah.
He speaks through the top of his nose. So, Joker. Wait, what would he say? Like, your crisscrossing crimes will stop now. You know, just whatever. But I would do it in front of him, and he would get so nervous. I'd be like, bro, we have the same agent. There is no way you are losing this job. I'm busting your chest.
Yeah, you're good.
One of the nicest guys around.
Oh, sure.
Diedrich Bader, fantastic. Big shout out to my man, Diedrich Bader. Now, Diedrich Bader got the big ass nuts. Yeah, that's for real.
Now, see, there's a question I have for you, because comics are most comfortable hanging out with other comics. Are like voiceover guys, are you most comfortable hanging out with other voiceover people?
I'm comfortable with voice hanging actors? Out with whoever. Sometimes, listen, if it starts to fucking feel like, you know, if it starts to feel like community theater, and we're just, you know, like, hey, this is going to be great. Like, I'm out. I'm totally out. Like, I'd rather just be like, but like, I find that I hang around comics and actors and performers. I know that we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, we're all kind of thinking the same thing. We're all kind of looking for the joke.
Yeah, comics especially. Yeah. And I you know, when I hang out with comics, my old muscle comes out, and it's just like, oh yeah, this feels good.
It's more fun to be around. I mean, I don't know, people, comics, sketch people, like, that just want to. You know, like, as a default, if you're around, let's say you go to a merry buddy who's not in comedy's barbecue, right? And you're around a lot of his guys, and they're, you know, probably trying to, you know,
vice prod president you for of some sales like, management
for
of
some the, voices and shit. Yeah. But, like, do you feel yourself as a default? I know I do, where I'm like, oh, I turn it up a notch sometimes just so that I'm not bored. Or if I'm in a circle where I feel like I can't just be, I can't assimilate to what they're doing and just be like, So your kids, man, they're just like, they're so big. Last time I saw them, I think they were, you know what I'm saying? Just like run-of-the-mill combo. Yeah.
Now, see, at the same time, you'd be like, your kids are fucking huge, man. What are you feeding those motherfuckers? Exactly. I just mix it up.
Yeah.
I think I'm a people person.
What do you like to do, like, on weekends and shit?
Oh, man.
If you got no work, no nothing, you wake up.
I just, you know, whatever. I clean the house. I fucking
the stars are just like us.
I go to I have a place in Palm Springs. I'll go there swim in the fucking pool and just chill out.
Yeah,
there you go.
I like going to nice restaurants. I like not doing a lot.
Yeah,
I like to see things that are nice. When I go somewhere, I'll be like, okay, I will go to a museum in that city if I'm vacationing there or whatever. I like to do as little as fucking possible. My wife says it's a fault of mine. I would have to agree. When people are like, what are your hobbies? I'm just like, I don't know. I picked up some dog shit twice today. I don't know if it's a hobby or not.
I mean, I do that frequently.
You know, it's just like, whatever. I like getting in my car and going for a ride. I like, you know, I like watching fucking my favorite television shows. I like.
What are those?
Comedy, you know what's fucked up? I like all kinds of shit, but Barry was fucking amazing this season on HBO. It's fucking incredible.
So good.
You know what? Bill Hader is a fucking bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
That dude
is creating
some really brilliant television.
I love when they let comedy guys go a little dark, because then you really see how good they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone's like, oh, he's so light and fun on SNL. No, I didn't know he could do
because
the comedy comes from a place
that's fucking you don't even know. Oh my god,
that's like that.
So it's way down here. fucking here it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey guys, what's going on?
Get that phone call from fucking devil.
Hey John, what's going on? Satan, just want to talk to you a little bit. Listen, just give me a call back. You know my number, 666-666-666-666. All right, cool, man. Talk to you later.
Fuck.
Please tell me you've prank called kids from high school or
No. That's fucking... I used to, one time, I was in Plainfield, New Jersey, my hometown. We went to the Burger King drive-thru. And this was a Burger King that was in a specific part of town.
Okay.
You know, a very specific part of town. So
a town that a part of town where you have a pass.
Yes, where I have a pass. So we pull up and it's me and this other guy and it's other white guy and we fucking pull up and you know, "Hello, welcome to Burger King. What can I get you?" "Yeah, baby, let me get a Whopper Jr., small fries and an orange drink." And "Okay, you want a Whopper Jr., small fry?" "Yeah, and an orange drink." "Okay. Yeah." And she, "All right, that's 432. Please drive around." And I pulled up, and she was just like, "It's for..." "Hey! You crazy! Do that again. Do it again."
She sees it to you.
Oh, yeah. And she was just like, "Do it again. I want to see you do it." "That's... here. You crazy." It was fucking hilarious. But like, you know, you fuck around. You get, I mean, I
you got to, right? You've been blessed with this gift and honed it. Like,
yeah.
How annoying does it get though? Like when people see you and fan out and they like want you to do something on the spot or.
I mean, it's our, you know, usually.
It's part of the gig.
It's part of the gig.
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's not part of the gig, but it's part of the gig.
Yeah.
You know, when you sign up for it, it's just like, well, I don't really want to sign up for that, but it's part of the gig. And now I do a lot of conventions. Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God.
Sorry,
Satan.
That was the Satan. Fucked me up, man. Satan was just like, "You're gonna have a little gas for that. It's gonna come back."
You know, what I feel you could do a great impression of is the coach from Major League. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, geez. Oh,
Vaughn, I'm telling you, Vaughn. You know, Ricky Vaughn. God damn it, Pedro.
God damn it, Vaughn.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on removing pieces of clothing.
Until we win,
God damn it.
We're the Cleveland fucking Indians. Where's Tom Bergeron? Oh, wait, no, Tom Berenger.
Oh, God, Tom Bergeron. Holy shit.
I hope Tom Bergeron's in that
movie. That'd be fucking
great.
Bring
it back.
Fun fact, Tom Bergeron was played by Wesley Snipes.
Oh.
Yeah, in
No, but what were we just saying? About
people bugging you with voices.
Oh, well, listen, I do these conventions now. And so people are constantly like, you know, "Oh, can you do the voice? Can you sing Bacon Pancakes? Can you tell me to bite my shiny metal ass? Can you do the..." You know what? I've been fortunate enough to have a fucking couple of gigs that have afforded me a wonderful lifestyle, success. I get it. I have a responsibility to not be a fucking dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to... Yeah, I have to do it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers, they butter my fucking bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit around and going, no, I'm not going to do that.
Butter
There's certain things
bread.
I'm not going to do, but I'm going to fucking, no, I'll tell you to bite my shiny metal ass. I don't give a shit. I'll sing Bacon Pancakes, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, that's fine.
Did Hugh Jackman do you any favors when he put out the video of him like lip syncing,
you know what?
Bacon Pancakes.
I guess so, but then I mean, I fucking tweeted back at him, me with a bunch of fucking butter knives in my fucking hands. I was like, "Dude, what the fuck, man? I'm not doing your shit. What are you doing my shit for?"
You know? Yeah, what sort of people have come out and I mean, like that you've met that have been like, "Dude, John, I'm a fucking like you're incredible." Like people that you're like, "I didn't even know you knew who I was," type shit. You know.
Tatiana Maslany, the chick from what's the name of the show where she plays every character?
Tatiana Maslany?
Yeah, Tatiana, right?
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
I think I say Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, where she's, she's in that show where she's like a clone.
Yeah, and she plays
Orphan Black.
Orphan Black.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That, and she's fucking brilliant, right?
Yeah.
On that show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, she's a big Futurama fan.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. And her boyfriend was a guy who was on the show, the English place, the fucking
Abbey,
Downton Abbey.
It's downtown. We're America. We're America, damn it. Yeah, we say downtown.
Downtown Abbey.
We say next to the Foster's Freeze.
Oh man.
Denton.
But like this guy was a fan of the show. It's just weird when people find out, like, you know, like I met Ice-T at a convention. Yes. Last year, and we did Gears of War 3 together, but I never got to meet him.
Right.
And like we played this heavy duty scene. It's after Dom dies.
Spoiler alert.
but that's years ago. If you don't know about fucking Dom dying,
yeah, Gears
fuck
of War.
You.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. Get through Gears 2 and fucking get over yourself, you fucking assholes. You know. No. Anyway. But yeah. So we did this scene and he was having a tough time playing it up against me because I'm fucking like, let me tell you something. And I'm fucking losing my mind. Yeah, and it's in the Marcus voice. Yeah. And he's just like, shit, man, I got to match that. But he was really cool about it. And he's always been supportive of the franchise. And I came up to him. I was like, hey, man, I'm the voice of Marcus. And he just went, oh, shit, my motherfucking man. How you doing? And he was so cool. And just like, Coco was there. I met Coco. Whoa. Like, you know,
gotta
just
meet met Coco.
His. Oh, gotta meet Coco. I love it. He was at a player's ball, and they threw a birthday party for him, and he broke down in tears about fucking Coco. He loves that woman.
Yeah,
it's adorable.
It is adorable.
It's
dude.
Adorable. Fucking hardcore, goddamn motherfucking pimp. Fucking god damn, just Coco tamed that motherfucker. Pow!
She did, dude.
It was awesome. He loves her so much. Beautiful.
Who couldn't she tame?
I guess you're
look
right.
At her.
I guess
like,
you're right.
Yeah, what beverage could she not get her fucking claws on?
but that's fucking.
Now
that's
you, dope, yeah. Now you are here, and there, you do have something that's recently come out. I mean, it seems like you have stuff that comes out every week. But
something came out just
historical roast.
Historical roast
on Netflix.
I'm so fucking psyched working with my main man Jeff Ross.
You know him for a minute.
We've known each. We started out like doing.
He's from
comedy.
Jersey too, right?
Yeah. We started out doing comedy together. I gave him his first writing gig. On television.
No Whoa. Shit.
He was writing for this show we did, Red Johnny and the Round Guy, on MTV. We were supposed to replace Pauly Shore.
That didn't go well.
And then, just fucking, you know, but he was writing on the show, and he was doing stand-up. We were doing stand-up together. I've known him for, I've known him for...
Going on 30?
20, going on 30.
Wow.
I mean, like between 25, 30 years.
Amazing.
Insane. Like we've known each other that long. It's something.
Does he call you up for the roast? And does he have a character in mind for you? Or
yeah, I did it. He wanted me to play a character within the historical roast. It's in the Muhammad Ali episode. I don't know if
our boy Jaleel. Yeah,
yeah,
so good.
It's really, really, it's really, really something. Everybody in it is really funny. John Gemberling as Babe Ruth.
That's who that was. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, my man from Westworld played Bruce Lee. Oh, what the fuck? I can't remember his name, but he was really funny.
Yeah.
And then Josh Homme from
Queens of the Stone Age,
plays Elvis.
Which is insane.
And Jaleel plays, Jaleel White plays Ali, and he's great.
Where'd you guys shoot it at?
I play Angelo Dundee. Right, this fucking place, a studio in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, right there, boom.
Pop it out.
Everybody's kicking it. You know,
How do you love the roast?
I love it, but it's just, you know, I'm not in the club anymore. My dozens are fucking soft right now.
I saw you a few weeks ago at the Comedy Store. Do you ever like walk around, see it, and go and kind of get that twitch again?
You know, it's funny because I was doing Jeff's podcast, and he was like, I got sets tonight, and I was just like, hey man, I want to do you mind if I come with and hang out and watch? And then he was like, absolutely not, dude, come. Because I just wanted to be in the club and feel it. Because I've been thinking about going back and doing stand-up. It's just like, what am I fucking doing? And I wanted to go back and just be there and be like, okay.
Yeah.
feel it out.
Sure.
And I was there, and I was like, yeah, I get it, but I'm just fucking, I don't want to show up with a walker and just be like,
Adam, you don't know about comedy, but I did it in the 90s.
Or maybe that's your shtick
when
now.
The whole goddamn.
That's really actually pretty funny. Just doing 5 minutes of,
you just, hey, listen to me. You can touch on my balls if you don't like my act. I'm old, wrinkly,
kiss my shiny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I did a lot of voices for cartoons.
Do it as a character.
They're all faggots.
It's like
you just make totally, up all these
just horrible phrases. Like,
remember me as a piece of toast? Fuck you, Jew.
You're like, what show was that from?
There's a show in my mind. Shut up.
Just fucking horrible. Oh my God. Jesus.
What are you, is Jeff the only comic that you've kind of kept in touch with, or the guys?
You know,
like,
there's people here and there, but yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. for the most part, it's, you know, it's, I'm kind of separate from it, you know? I mean, you know, it's just funny how, you know, people have blown up, and I'm just, you know, and I'm just like, fucking good for them, you know?
Yeah. And good for you.
Yeah. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, dude. You're a staple in the fucking business, dude.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I'm okay. I think I'll be all right for the rest of my career as long as I don't say anything too stupid.
Is there vocal maintenance too? Like that? You're like what? How much more cognizant do you have to be
The thing that you need to do the most is use your breath and your diaphragm the most in doing voices, because if you don't do that, then you're putting a lot of strain in your throat.
Yeah.
So you know, and so unless the voice that you pick is, you know, something, you know, like Marcus Phoenix is like,
Dom Baird, you do take left. Cole, you come with me. Nice.
You know, and that's Jesus. You got to get up on the microphone too. You got to know how to work it.
Sure.
And so,
if you're an anti-Semitic piece of toast, I think you're also probably stressing those pipes a little too hard.
Oh my God,
anti-Semitic. But you've got
I really want to develop that cartoon now.
Anti-Semitic toast.
Hey, listen. I mean, listen. Racism's cool now.
I know, dude.
It's in.
It's all the rage.
Jesus Christ.
Did you have
end times? I'm watching Endgame the other day. I'm like, this is close. Yeah. Fucking, it's gonna happen.
Did you have teachers or people, you know, above you that kind of were like, yo, just as you get going? That saw things early on, or did you just kind of figure it out and innately know, like, all right, this is how
I kind of figured it out. Yeah. I wasn't that good a student. I really enjoyed Tuesday and Thursday night socials on Frat Row, you know, drinking free beer.
Yeah, dude.
Free beer, somebody else's beer. Yeah. Drinking somebody else's beer in college, I was really good at it. I was really fucking good.
I bet you were a fun guy to have around. People wanted to give you the beer, right?
Everybody wanted to give me the beer. People still wanted to give me the beer here in L.A. after I booked Futurama, because they would get me drunk enough over at Barney's Beanery to just...
sing karaoke?
Give me another drink! You know, it'd start, and all of a sudden, Bender would show up and just be like, ah, boy, here we go! You know, just forget it.
Speaking of Bender showing up, we have a request which you're more than welcome to deny.
What's a request?
So when we have impressionists,
voiceover actors,
Dana Carvey, Ari Spears, John Kite, Piotr Michael, that we prank call a Thai restaurant that I frequently order from.
Oh God, no!
We don't have Dana did it as Paul McCartney, Aries did it as DMX.
I know Aries from back in the day.
Yeah. Brilliant, right?
Yeah, what can I do? Is,
I mean, even just the guy you did at the
I mean, if you
at the Burger King, like some, I mean,
huh? Wait, are we really gonna call up a Thai restaurant?
Fuck yeah, we are.
Oh man,
you could do that. You could do Bender. You could do the voice.
Also,
of
if
Satan.
You don't want to, you don't have to.
I just feel like leading someone on.
I give them so much business. There's not enough pot stickers they can make.
See.
I How about a Bed, Bath, and Beyond?
Can we prank call them?
How about my sister? She's a giant fan. How about that, actually?
No, wait. No, wait. The Bed, Bath, and Beyond is really...
is it? All right. I love where
you're at. Is there a Bed, Bath, and Beyond? Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. We live in L.A.
Yeah, so we can call them and...
I would like... Yeah.
Hold on. All right. Put on speaker, yeah. Just hold up to the mic.
Sean speaking.
Hello, is this Bed, Bath & Beyond?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I have a question. How high does your sheet count go? Like, as far as like the softness of your sheets?
That is a good question. Let me transfer you to somebody in the apartment, and I'll help you out with
that. Hey, thank you very much.
Right, open this for quick, and then I'm going to tape it with yours. Shall we hold that phone? I thought that that's the song. Here, I got the cord.
See, the Thai place would have...
Thank you for calling. I'm
going to
help you.
Hi, I have a question about thread counts. I would like to know, what is your highest thread count of sheets that you sell in your particular store?
1,000.
Okay, that's real soft. Uh-huh. Okay, that's good. I like, 1,000. Yeah, that's nice. Okay, good. I'm going to make my way down and get some sheets there. That's going to be real nice.
Okay,
I appreciate it. What's your name?
Irene,
thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate it. 1,000 count.
Right,
yeah, fine. Girl, that's it. See, the Thai restaurant, they would have started making food already. They would have fucking been halfway through some fucking cream cheese wontons and shit and be like, no, stop.
Dude, here's what he asked him for, N-word shrimp.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude. And the guy was like, we had that. And he's like, and then he goes,
Fucking
up.
Oh, my God, that's fucked up. I can't top that.
We had to pause.
You have N-word shrimp. I heard you guys have N-word shrimp.
We had to pause and be like, do we order that to see what that is?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Shit. Yeah, that works. See, that was harmless. That was harmless. That was fun. Irene.
That was real funny.
Thank
that's
you,
clean.
Irene, at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out.
I would have totally brought my coupons down there.
All 62 of them.
We get every
to
day
buy
in the mail.
Fucking three bottles of Tide.
And some fucking barkeeper's friends.
I love how we asked you to do that, and you had this genuine conflict within yourself. Like, I like to use my powers only for good.
Yeah, I love that about you. But then there's the chaotic neutral that's just like, come on, let's have a little fun.
Yeah, I love that, man.
You're the fucking man, dude.
Yeah,
such a fan. You to be as talented as you are cool is like really.
That's a very very kind thing to say.
Yeah, I don't know how many podcasts you do, but you crush it, dude.
Dude, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm a decent guest. I'm trying to work my way up to being on camera. But I have the face for radio. Fuck!
Historical Roast on Netflix is the new thing, but fuck, go to your IMDb. You're on every single cartoon known to man.
Disenchantment on Netflix.
Yeah, dude.
And that's good. We have new ones coming out in September at the end of the summer, so that's really cool.
That show is fucking great, dude.
There's a Gears thing that's supposed to be announced, and I announced it at this con that I was recently at, and they got and fucking the head designer, the head guy of the studio, Rob Ferguson, was just like, did you tell them something? I was like, I didn't mean to, but the thing was about. They're like, we're making an announcement at E3. I'm like, oh, God. He's like, don't worry about it, because it was the wrong date you gave out. So I'm a fucking idiot. So something's happening in
something
the Gears world.
In the Gears world.
They're going to make the announcement at E3 in June. Yeah, it'll be cool.
And follow you on Twitter, man.
I'm all right.
You're all right.
I get pissed off at fucking idiots. I don't suffer fools. Gladly,
I would say if you're a current supporter of a certain man in office right now, maybe don't follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, don't.
I know, it's amazing don't the amount it. Of followers I will lose from one little where there's like, I come to you for the comedy, man.
No, fuck you. I'm here for me.
I'm a person first.
I'm here for me first and the gimme gimmies, motherfuckers.
Wow, I love that I know that reference.
Yeah, there it is. That's I know, it's fucking ridiculous. But you know, it's all good. It's, you know, we just fucking...
Well, come hang with us at the clubs anytime,
Listen.
Yeah.
I'll totally do that.
And we'll come to your pool in Palm Springs.
Crash fucking... Where's your rum?
I'm just going to drink it out of the bottle.
Brad's like, you said you had floaty toys for me. I need floaties.
We got some fucking floaty toys.
Oh, shit.
Some fucking crazy
Can I be honest? That is my, like, when I get to that level and I get a yard with a pool, I want it just stacked with all the fucking...
you know what's funny, though?
Like, pizza slices.
I,
yes, goes. Dude.
I had to buy thing. Somewhere else to get a pool as opposed to fucking yeah. getting it here in oh,
yeah.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, but no. It's better down there.
I have a water feature here. I have a water if I can put my feet in the bottom of it, and that's about it. But in Palm Springs, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I've got a Rolls Royce in the fucking driveway. Los Angeles, I'm fucking sitting on a fucking plot of land with a tent.
Tent. Was that you outside of the Best Buy shaking
it was
that cup?
Yeah. Just fucking, yeah, yelling at everything. Fucking, I like pens! What's wrong with pens?
No, if you make a few million a year, you could afford a really nice tent here in Los Angeles.
Exactly, that's total truth.
Two room tent.
I'm just waiting for that one day when I get cast as a cop in a fucking cop drama.
It's coming,
and dude. I fucking have to
game rap. Over, dude.
That's a wrap. Because I did a 3-episode arc on this new show on Apple. For the guys who just did, the guys who were, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like Rob McElhenney and those other guys.
People
and,
say that I look like a tiny version of Rob, which is, I've been told that so many times. I've been told that so many times.
That is so fucking funny.
To this day,
oh my God.
My most liked photo on Instagram is me next to Rob. More than my wedding photos.
Shit.
More than any sort of announcement of career accomplishments.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
Hey, it's a wash. People say I look like Mini so Rob, and everyone goes fucking ape shit.
No, that is perfect. But, like, you know, I'm trying to fucking mix it up, see what happens.
You will, dude.
More's
coming.
Yeah, I'm just, and I don't care how long it takes. I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right.
Steady,
yeah,
right?
Whatever. Yeah, steady. Yeah, everything's cool. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Maintaining what I have, just fine.
Yeah, dude.
All good.
It's also a healthier way to live when you're not just, like, you realize, at least I'm speaking for myself, like, I stress myself out when I'm like, God damn it, why am I not?
No.
It's like, just fucking
you're working. Stay focused.
Yeah.
You're working.
We get to do this for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right now, this counts as work. I've laughed my ass off for the last hour.
I have, too, and I'm, you know, just like, why do you do this?
Why do you do these fucking podcasts?
I'm like, because it's fucking, yeah.
If you could see what I was doing,
we would
that's
no
why
longer.
It's a podcast. And that's why I'm not a good TV guest. Face for radio. And a clenched fist for radio as well.
Thanks, John. Thanks,
absolutely, John. My amazing. Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?